Welcome to the Concierge CPA. I'm Jackie Meyer, founder of the Concierge Accountant Program and TaxPlan IQ software. This is a podcast for accounting firm owners and influencers who are pursuing world-class service. We discuss their path to excellence, their daily habits, and what influences them and their work. We believe that every person has a unique message that can positively impact the world. Stick around till the end of the show. We'll reveal how you can be our next guest in 15 to 20 minutes. Let's go, y'all. Hello, hello. Jackie Meyer here, host of the Concierge CPA. I have a very lovely guest with me today, Laurelyn Wilson, and she has so many credentials and titles, and I'm just so excited to talk to her because she seems like my kind of person, but I don't think we've officially met in the past. So let me kind of kick off with an intro about you, and then if you want to kind of fill in some of the blanks, I'd really appreciate it. So you are a CPA, an author of what's the book title again?
So the book was called Insight, and what it was a book very specifically tailored to micro business, but that has actually since evolved into like an educational community.
Awesome. Okay. And I assume you can grab that on Amazon.
I took the book down and I'm pushing everyone to the community now.
Okay, cool. So what's the community site?
Yes, it is called Cash Control. And if you go to like my TikTok social media handle stuff, you can find it. But basically what it is it's like an interactive community where people can interact with the content. Because the problem is business owner comes in and they read about the auto deduction. Like here's an example. And that'll get them like 85%, 90% of the way there and understanding. Mm-hmm. But there's always another 15 to 10% where they're like, I have a clarifying question. And so it's like, well, if it's just a book, they can't ask me that. Like they can't engage with it at all. So I'm like, okay, how can I take that same information, but make it so then they can engage? And so I put it in a community where, you know, you have all these static topics covering all these different, you know, micro business things, but then there's threads. So then they can ask questions. And then I also have live Q&As. So then they can ask even more questions. So it becomes way more interactive and asynchronous. So we can really tailor it to their individual situation, but do it in a way that's very cost effective for them.
Okay. Very cool. So you've had your own CPA firm Due North for a couple of years now. Does that kind of go alongside that to help the clients that you're working with?
Yeah, that's a great question. So this community was built kind of for those clients who can't afford my services.
Okay.
You know, and it's the people who really need it most a lot of the time can't afford it. And so I'm like, how do I take what's in my brain? Cause it's all there, but then give it to them in a way that they can understand, that they can afford, but that's not going to be a huge time suck. So I've literally spent like 5 years building this content in different iterations in ways that I'm like, how do I get it to them in a way that works for them? And so this was I finally found a platform. Podia is the platform if anyone's interested in creating educational content like this. But this was finally the first platform I found where it was like, this checked all the boxes. This is what I need to roll this out.
Very cool. Okay. So CPA extraordinaire, author, mom like me. You say your website or somewhere says accounting personality. I like that. It's like, hey, I'm here. I'm a personality. I can kind of be whatever I need to be, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so tell me a little bit about kind of your story as it's evolved, because I know you also are kicking off a media company. And so you've got a lot going on and you've got a billion followers on TikTok, Twitter, the not so spicy accountant. Is that your handle on both of the platforms?
On Twitter, because I try to keep it, I'm using this phrase really loosely, more professional. I mean, I'm anything but. I like to say on Twitter, I'm not famous, I'm infamous. Like I'm just on there being silly, but just connecting with the accounting community. So my handle on Twitter is just at Laurelyn Wilson, but then kind of my business facing to get clients, the handle's the not spicy accountant. So I have a TikTok with that handle. And then I just started an Instagram. I just started dabbling into Instagram. So that's my handle there as well.
Very cool. Okay. Yeah. So give us kind of the history of you.
Yes. Yeah. So I entered the accounting industry later in life. Like I didn't come out of college knowing I was going to be an accountant. I came out with a poli sci degree right before the crash. I graduated in 07. So okay. It's like the economy goes bottom up and I'm just working an administrative job and it was good. It paid the bills, but it just wasn't very intellectually stimulating. So then after a couple of years of doing that, I realized, okay, I need to get kind of some type of secondary postgraduate education and go into a field that is it more exciting to me. So I looked at, you know, the typical ones. At first it was like, well, law, cause I was a poli sci degree. And then I was like, oh, that's boring. I do not want to be a lawyer. And two, it's at that point in my life, it's like the thought of going back to law school. I was already married at that point and, you know, looking to start a family. I'm like, that's just not in the card. So that was off the table. Then I looked at looking at maybe going to the medical field. But again, same thing, like the amount of schooling required, because I literally had not taken one undergraduate biology course.
Okay.
I'm like, okay, I'd have to go back to school for 1,000 years. And I was like, okay, that's not feasible either. And so at the time, my former sister-in-law, she was a CPA. And I was like, what do you do? She's like, I'm a CPA. And I said, what's that? What is this? I had no idea what a CPA was. She's like, well, and she's an internal auditor at like a large insurance company, but she's like, well, this is what a CPA is. And this is the different kind of things they can do. And in my head, I heard like recession proof. Because again, coming off the trauma of like the 08 crash, I'm like, what's a job where I never have to worry about being employed? And so then I was like, okay, let me go see what these prereqs are. Cause I'd never taken any accounting courses, not one. Okay. And so I went, looked them up, and it was only like 2 terms at a community college to get the prereqs. And then there was a all online program through one of our private universities here that was just 3 terms, all accounting courses, that you would get a post-baccalaureate accounting degree and that would give you all the credits you needed to sit for the CPA exam. So, okay. And then like the total cost between all that was like 10 grand.
Wow.
So I'm like, okay, that's 5 terms, 10 grand. I can do it pretty much all online. I was like, sold. I'm going to be a CPA. So that's like how I first, you know, went back to school for it. And then I worked right when I'd finished school, I worked less than a year at a very, very traditional, toxic firm where that was kind of like, okay, I want to do the opposite of everything they're doing.
Yes. This all is the things like, that you hate, right?
Oh my gosh. It was just all, you know, all billable hours, have to be in person, no type of modern tech or anything, nothing in the cloud, everything, you know, desktop based, very, you know, toxic boss, yelling at employees, firing people all the time. And so once I left there, like I said, I was only there less than a year and I was like, I'm out. I do not like this. I started working with one of my best friends from high school. Her husband, who's the same age as me, had started a CPA firm. And so went and worked with him. After a couple of years with him, I bought an ownership. And we co-own that for about 3 years. And then after 3 years, he's like, seems like you kind of want to go down more of the educational path with some of this. Cause he knew I had an interest in not just doing accounting, but also teaching small business owners about accounting. And so I was like, you know what? Yeah, you're right. He's like, well, if I just buy your shares and you just, you know, take whatever clients you want. He's like, so I ended up just taking 4 clients. It's like all the women clients. And then, so that was the beginning of 2021. So I just took those clients and then spent 2021 just kind of being mellow, figuring out, okay, what do I want my practice to actually look like? And so through that and taking time to decide, you know, do I want to hire employees? Do I want to partner? And then as well as starting to create content, that's kind of got me to where I am now, where I'm partnered with another firm who pretty much does all the work for me. And I just sell, which I'm very good at. And so, and then what I do is create content around that to drive in leads. And all those leads come from TikTok mostly. So that's the very medium length version of how I got here.
Wow. Okay. So much to dive into. All right. And so along that way, where did this kind of huge following come from online?
Yeah. So COVID, that's the short version of it. So I had that book we were kind of talking about. I had created that back in 2020. So back in 2020, I'd kind of finished this ebook and then I wasn't really sure what to do with it. So we would if people called in, and this was when I was with my old firm, if people came to us like needing help, but they didn't fit the bill, we're like, well, here's an inexpensive ebook to help you. But like, I didn't have any type of mass audience to market it to. And so at the end of 2021, I got COVID, but I had good COVID where it was like, I was testing positive, but I felt completely normal, but I was being a good citizen. So I was isolating. I was, you know, stuck at home for 2 weeks. So I had all this energy and was trapped in my home. And I'm like, well, maybe I'll just start creating accounting content on TikTok and promote this ebook and see if, and it was kind of just a test. It was just to see if I am on TikTok promoting a service or selling something, is there, can I convert that audience with my content? So it was kind of just like, I'm just going to test this out and see what happens. It wasn't like a type of thing where I want to sell this many ebooks. I'm like, let's just see if this even converts at all. And so then in January of 2022, so this year, I went like full blast and like all of January just put out a ton of accounting related videos, and a lot of them were response videos. So like, everyone's on there. Everyone wants to be a tax expert without the license. And so a lot of it's just responding to incorrect type of content. And or like creating content that is seen as kind of like controversial to non-tax people. Like, for example, I talked about the taxability of PR boxes that influencers get. And that video went viral. You know, that had like hundreds of thousands of views and likes. And so like I would say like I almost got up to like 30,000 followers within like a month and a half just from doing that, just from like consistently posting. And then too, I started getting some ebook sales. So I was like, okay, this works. But then I'm like, all right, now what? Like, now where am I going to funnel all these people? And then that's when I ended up partnering with the other firm. It's called Altius CPA. Cause I was like, I have this giant funnel. And I'm like, I don't want to internally hire employees. I don't want to build a big firm myself, but like, I'm like, these are a ton of people who want services. So I'm like, where should I send them? And so that's when I reached back out to my friend, Alan, cause he'd reached out to me the prior year, kind of being like, hey, we built this platform if you want to come on. But then now I reached out to him again and I was like, okay, I'm ready. I have the volume. I have people who want to engage with me and want to buy things from me. So like, I'm ready. Let's do this.
Very cool. And do you find like surprising leads from TikTok, or are they okay? Tell me about like some interesting things that happen.
Shockingly good leads. Like the people that come to me, I'm like, holy moly. Cause these are, well, the first thing is the leads kind of affirm that I am putting out the right kind of content to get my ideal client. Like I would say 75% of the leads who come to me are my ideal client, meaning they can afford the monthly. So I do monthly accounting and tax. So it's only small business owners. You have to be a small business owner. And like our cheapest monthly package starts at like $365 a month. So you at least have to afford $365 a month, you know, and you have to play by these rules, you know, and probably 75% of the people who come through like are those types of people. And then out of that 75%, I probably close 75%. So the close rate and the clients coming through are very good, to the point where I was like, I had a goal by the end of this year to onboard a certain amount of clients from TikTok. And I only started offering my services, like broadcasting them to the TikTok community in August. And I've already doubled what my goal was for the end of the year. So it's been crazy. Like I think my biggest client who came through, like he's a $2,000 a month engagement from TikTok. What?
And are there any like personality quirks that you can kind of tell, like they're a TikTok person versus a Twitter person versus a Facebook person, or is everybody just their own person?
Yeah, I would say, you know what I found, and it's hard because I don't really advertise services on other platforms. So I can't really say what type of clients come through, but since I kind of focus on kind of like this fact checking, the people who end up coming to me are people who like are searching for the right answers. Like they want to do it right. And because I'm not out here being like, well, let's work in the gray. I'm like, no, it's clear. Like we're going to do it right. It might mean paying more tax, but as a result, I actually end up getting like really honest clients who really want to do it right and aren't trying to like get me to finagle the system for them.
Yeah. That's so cool. I love it. And so you are starting this brand new company called Heater Media. heatermedia.com. Tell me about that.
Yes. Okay. So the how it even came about was Alan, who I'm partnered with at Altius. So the platform they're building is a platform for other CPAs like me to just like literally plug in. You do sales, you build your client base, and we'll do the work for you. So he's like, all right, well, we're going to be having more CPAs come on. And he's like, I want to teach them how to sell. And he's like, so what if we partnered up and created some type of like media company that helps accountants do what you do online? And I was like, oh, because he's like, he's such like a hype man. I don't know if Alan will ever listen to this, but thank you, Alan, for believing in me. But I was like, okay, I'm like, well, I'm doing this anyway. So it's like, I always try and do ventures where it's already overlapping into the things I'm doing. So it's like, okay, if I'm already out here doing these things, it's, you know, I'm not going from zero to one doing this. I'm kind of going from one to two. So it's like, okay, I'm just taking what I'm already doing and then just telling other people to do what I do.
And that's the best thing to do is like, you've had success with it. You're telling them, showing people exactly how you're doing it. I love that.
Yes. Yeah. And so we're going to have three different offerings on it. And so the first level is just going to be rights to my weekly newsletter I send out. So every week, send out a free newsletter. It's called the Fab Five Weekly. It's literally five things, five topics, and they're all accounting and tax related with a small business bent. But like these newsletters each take me an hour or more to write a week, and they're pretty meaty in terms of content. So I'm like, well, I could just sell rights to that for $25 a month, and other accountants can have, you know, get four newsletters a month, but then they can take that content and do whatever they want with it. Each thing could be a blog post, a LinkedIn post, or they just regurgitate it on their own LinkedIn, or they take each one and make a TikTok video. And so it's like, I'm already doing that. So how much harder is it to just let someone else use that same content and, you know, spin it up in different ways? So that's like level one. Level two, I'm actually partnering with Blake Oliver, who we all know and love. Yep. So this one is going to be video content.
The genius behind Earmark CPA.
Yes. So this is video content. And kind of the approach we're going to take is it's awkward for me to tell an accountant, okay, film a video, send it to me and I'll edit it. Cause it's kind of awkward being in front of a camera and talking to a camera if you've never done it before. So it's like, how do we make it easier for people and make it feel more natural? So like, well, what if we kind of made it a little bit of like, I don't want to say a mastermind, but more of like a coaching experience where people once a week come on video with me or Blake and they present something to us for 15 minutes. And then that's the video content we take, splice up, and then get back to them to distribute on social media.
I love that. Oh my gosh. I have totally brainstormed that myself. Like, how do you get accountants to release more video content? Yes. And that is such a great way to do it. I love that idea.
Yes. Yeah. And then, you know, me or Blake will be there if they get stuck. We can ask them questions and, you know, create more of the natural dialogue. So I have to give props to Blake. That model was like his idea. And I'm like, well, let's just do this together. So that's level two. And then level three is, again, in kind of conjunction with Earmark, is helping people with podcast production.
Cool.
So people want to launch a podcast. Yep. Yeah. So those are kind of the three different levels. And then like, for those of you who aren't poker fanatics, going on a heater is actually a poker term, and going on a heater means you're like on a winning streak. So that's, that's where the name's from.
Yes. Very nice. Now, did you come up with that before you went to Vegas this year or after?
You know what? I'm dating the guy I've been dating for a couple years now is a huge poker fiend, and I got into it because of him. I'm not nearly as big into it just because it's a huge time suck. Like, it's fun, but like, I can't sit and play for 10 hours a week. So where we live in Portland, poker is actually legal, so there's poker rooms, and so we've said that we want to open up a card room and call it the heater. And so it's a play off of that. And so I was just randomly trying to like brainstorm ideas, and I was like, oh, okay, I'm going to be going to QVC in Vegas. So this was probably like a month ago I came up with the name, and I was like,
oh, cool.
Oh, what? And then I was thinking, I need something to hand out in Vegas too. So I was like, oh, what would be a good like tchotchke to hand out?
Yeah.
And that's how I was like, wait, Vegas, poker, heater media. And then and if this comes out before QVC, if you see me at QVC, come find me. I'm going to have little branded playing cards. That's my handout.
Oh, so cute. I love it. Yeah. So apparently we were both at AICP Engage and totally maybe just having fun, different areas.
I was in the cabanas.
Yeah. yeah, we had our first vendor booth for Tackling IQ. That was a crazy learning experience, but it was a lot of fun. I was trying to get the get poker chips that I could give out for people to come by the booth.
Yes.
They refuse. The casino's like, we cannot do that.
Oh, gee.
They even heads up. That. Yeah, that's not a thing. Yeah. But yeah, I was like, hey, why not? I'll give everyone, you know, $5 poker chip for coming by, saying hi and whatever.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll work out in the future. But yeah. Okay, let's switch gears a little bit. And I like to talk with guests about, you know, we've talked about all the wonderful things that are going on for you, but I know you probably had challenges in your life, just like the rest of us. What's a particular challenge that you think that our listeners might be able to learn some kind of valuable lesson from? Have you come across something big that's hit you that you're like, wow, I realize now why that happened?
Yeah, I would say probably what's the biggest challenge I face in overcoming that is this, the constantly wanting to kill yourself to please clients. So that's especially early on in my career, because I'm definitely a pleaser by nature and I want my gold star. I want everyone to be happy with me. And then, I mean, it didn't happen often, but like if a client would get upset or leave, just kind of the stress and anxiety that you carry around because of that. Yeah. And then how much that wreaks havoc on your health. Like for me, what that does is that manifests in eczema on my hands. Like if I am too stressed out, my hands get covered in eczema. And so that's kind of now a trigger to me knowing like, if all of a sudden I have eczema on my hands, I'm like, what's going on? And then a lot of kind of going along with that is at the time, and I mean, I was younger and I just, you know, was much newer in the industry, is this fear that if someone leaves you or if someone's upset at you, like you'll never find a person to replace them. So there was a lot of letting go of this fear that you're not good enough. You'll never get another client. Because especially now, the reality is in our industry, it's horribly understaffed. Like we have more clients than we know what to do with. So it's being able to let go of the bad and just know that there's plenty of good out there. But unless you let go of the bad, you can't experience the good. Like I literally this week fired a client who was onboarding in the middle of the onboard. Cause I was like, you know what?
You're can't like, red flag. Yes. I'm out. Yeah.
You can't follow our systems. You can't follow our processes. You're annoying my ops manager who I'm like, I want to keep her happy more than anyone. So I'm like, you know what? You're not worth a couple $100 a month. Like you're not worth it. I have 10,000 other clients I could go after. And so once like you came to that realization, and it was just such a huge weight off my shoulders, just knowing that like, wait, I'm in the driver's seat. And especially too, if you're in your own firm, if you're miserable at your own firm, that's like real talk. It's kind of your fault. Like, so
dig your own grave, right?
Yeah. So it's like being just real with yourself, just real, and being like, okay, what did I do to get myself in this position? And how do I get myself out of it?
Yeah, for sure. You know, it's funny because you feel like that's kind of a muscle you work, and you feel like you get really strong at that over the years. And I feel like boundaries I had in my CPA firm were really great. And then I start, coaching, and then I start this tax planning software. And I realize I'm like letting people get away with things that I would never have let them get away with as clients in the other, in my practice.
Yeah.
And so it's like, oh, wow, I'm starting over here. Like just because it's a different company doesn't mean that I can't fire people that are crazy or disassociate with people that I don't want to talk to.
Yeah.
Because I was so good at that at my firm. And so like, it's this whole realization that's happening now.
Yes.
Now, when you just said that you're a people pleaser, I looked you up on LinkedIn because I had this little software called Crystal Nose. And I was like, I wonder what DISC personality type she is.
Oh,
and
what
so
did it,
you
what
are an S, so you're very steady, and it kind of perfectly, I think, fits what you just described. That you're kind of that people pleaser type, and I totally get that now.
But yeah, and do you do the Enneagrams at all?
I love Enneagram. Yeah. Which, oh no. What? Okay. Which one? Oh, okay. I'm worst one. Okay. I just
are you an eight?
Week. Yes, I'm an eight.
You love how I like guessed it. I'm like, oh, you're an eight then.
Embarrassing.
You're an eight. Okay. So I'm a three. And this is what I say the difference is between
you're a three.
Yes. I said eights are like threes, but they don't care if people like them. That's what I think the difference
is. Exactly. Yes. So like, I'm not driven by other people liking me. I'm driven by this like crazy, like principle that I have to uphold for myself in the world. And I thought I was a three, and then I, you know, retook the test and lo and behold, I'm an eight. And I had just been talking smack about eights. I was like talking about someone that I knew that was an eight. And I was like, she was really hard to get along with.
Eights are
difficult people.
Yeah.
And then, you know, here I am. So that's okay. I'll just, you know, settle into it, I suppose.
Yes. Yeah. I have like, so I was actually at FreshBooks was just in town for like a meetup, which was so fun, but okay. I was talking with Kristen Keats and Jennifer Diamond. Do you know those ladies?
No, I don't.
Oh, they're wonderful. You should get to know them. But we were talking about, I think where some of my three comes from is part of like wanting people to like me is also wanting them to feel included in things. So like, I'm so friendly with everyone because I never want people to feel like they're not part of the group. So I wonder how much of like my threeness, like some like experiences that shaped me as a child of feeling left out and then wanting people to like me and feel included. Like, I feel like I could have easily become an eight, but because of those childhood experiences, that made me more of a three and more kind of aware and in tune with how people are feeling around me. And do they feel like they're part of it? Do they feel excluded?
Yeah, for sure. Well, it's funny because I feel like I get along the best with threes because threes go out of their way to like overcome the eights, like weird thingies to like get them to like the three. And so it's this whole like thing where, and so no wonder I like you so much.
Yes. Yeah. That's so funny. One of my clients, he's like my favorite client and also like a pain in my butt. He's an eight and he's very in tune with his eightness. Mm-hmm. He's like, I love threes to work with because he's like, they want to please and they want a gold star.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. My firm was just acquired by a coaching student of mine, Michelle Bustamante. And
awesome.
We went to a retreat. She's big on Enneagram. We all did the test. Guess what? She's a three. That's why we got along so well. And it was like, okay, it all comes together. So yes, if anyone listening has not done Enneagram, we both obviously highly recommend it. It definitely pinpoints who you are very well.
Yes. I felt attacked when I first read my, like, what it told me I was. I was like, oh my goodness.
Oh yeah. I mean, you always focus on the negatives, right? Yeah. But there's a lot of positives about each of the types. And I really like how it shows you if you're not in a good place, you're going to go towards more of this negative stuff and it identifies what that looks like. And then if you are in a good place in your life or career that day, you know, every day is different, you know, yesterday sucked, today's great, whatever.
Yeah.
Then it'll show you like where you can really like, excel and propel or whatever those words are. So it's really, really cool. Okay, cool. All right. We'll stop nerding out on Enneagram, but I love that. Mm-hmm. What is a book that you would recommend other than yours, since it's off the shelves now? What is a book that you're like every accountant or listener, entrepreneur should like go grab this on Amazon right now after this podcast?
Yes. So there's two I would recommend. And these are the two I recommend them is because they were so good. I'm like, I got to come back and read these again, which I never repeat read books. Like that's just not a thing I do. Okay. So the first would, especially if you struggle with kind of timidity, If you're not confident in your selling skills or confident in like dealing with clients.
I do that too. I mess up words since having children. I don't know about you, but like, I don't know the words anymore. So I just roll with it.
Oh, I don't know how to spell anymore. Like it's completely. So, okay. So the first one, if you struggle with that is never split the difference. Have you read that book?
That one, but I haven't read it. Yeah.
It's fantastic. So like a quick overview for people who haven't read it. It's a like FBI negotiator who tells you like essentially how to negotiate. And so the psychology behind it.
Yes. What's his name?
Chris Voss, I think.
Yes.
Chris Voss.
Okay.
It's Voss.
Yeah. I yes. watched him on YouTube or something, and I was like, this guy is legit.
It's like, a fun read.
It's and great if you're representing clients with the IRS. It is great to apply those strategies and theories to discussions with the IRS agent.
Yes, yes. And I do it. So like my least favorite type of client to work with is people in real estate, because they always try and wheel and deal you. So if you have an industry you work with where people are trying to wheel and deal your service prices, like my favorite thing is like, well, when they're like, well, can we charge you less? I'm like, I could charge you more, you know, and so just kind of
using, you know, every second that you keep becoming more of a PETA, I think it's up the fee even more.
So it goes up and up and up and up. Yeah. And up. Oh gosh. Oh, you know what? Can I say $3? I want to say $3. I just saw three. Okay. So the second one is Atomic Habits. Like it's it's a well-known book for a reason.
Atomic and
it's
like, Habits.
Yes. And again, if you haven't read it, people, I would say the number one reason to read it is it just makes you more of aware of why you do the things you do. And if you don't like the things you do, how to change those things you do, and tools and tips. So it's very practical.
Yeah. Very and like small, tiny little steps that you can take on a daily basis versus it being these big overwhelming things. That's kind of the vibe I got.
100%. And then my third one would be, and I feel like this took me a really long time to get to, I only read it just a little less than a year ago, is the 4-Hour Work Week.
Oh yeah, buddy, right here.
It's a classic
world.
For a reason. Yeah. And I think what that helped me realize first is that, cause I was very against like partnering with anyone, having employees. I was like, I'm just going to do it all myself. Cause I sold my shares of a firm. I'm just tired of dealing with people who weren't paying me. So I was like, I was so against it. But then reading that book really made me realize, okay, what's this ideal life I want to live? Like you have to learn how to outsource some of what you do. And so that was like the first realization. And then the second realization was they have you do this exercise where you write down like everything you want to do and how much that would cost per month. So how much per year do you need to make to do all these things you want? And so doing that exercise too, and realizing like, oh, that's not saving that much money. Like I need to make to like really live my quote unquote, like ideal life. And so that book was like, number one, made me step back and be like, okay, you need a partner, I ended up a couple months later partnering with Altius, which I'm so grateful for. And then two, being like, okay, what are these kind of revenue goals I need to get to? And then just actually seeing like, oh, that's actually super feasible. I can be there within a couple years. And so, you know, structuring everything I do kind of around that.
Very cool. Yeah. I think, a lot of accounting firm owners, I know you've got different businesses, but talking about like just the CPA firm aspect, I feel like they get really confused with, the numbers of how many people they want to work with, what their revenue goal is, stuff like that. When it's actually really simplistic. I mean, you literally take like, you can take what net income you want to make and divide it by the ideal number of clients. And then you get your number for like what you should be charging per client, and you can gross it up if you want. But I mean, it's like they complain, well, I'm so busy. I'm not getting the revenue I want. Well, how many clients do you have? 450. How much are you charging per client? $300. Oh my goodness. Yeah. That's not going to work.
Yeah.
So, you know, my firm was very boutique-y and I ended up selling it at 56 clients, but you've got to like every year kind of up that goal of like, what's that minimum you're going to charge clients and do that. Did you kind of walk through a process like that?
Yeah, no, I've absolutely done that. So I have like my ideal number of clients I'll work with, like up to, it's 100. I'll work with up to 100 clients. I know at 100 clients, this is how much I'm making. This is roughly how many hours it's taking me. But actually, so one of my other businesses, Look Ahead, it's strictly a forecasting business. So, you know, we partner with business owners and help them with forecasts. Like accountants don't do their own forecasts. Like I do my own rolling forecast every month just to see where I'm at, you know, and it doesn't take long. It takes like 15 minutes to update, but it's just so crazy how many accountants, like you got to see where the cash flow is at in 6 months. Like you got to do this exercise. You got to see what's happening. And so it's just, it's easy. Like I get it. You get too busy. You get caught in the weeds and you get trapped and you don't know how to get out. Like, and it does really take some self-awareness to be like, okay, I can do better than this. I need help.
Yeah, for sure. But also like boundaries, like what you were saying earlier about you need to be able to say no, you need to be able to fire a client And mm-hmm. some people just can never get to that stage. And I really empathize with them because I remember being like that myself. And I don't know where the heck I would be mentally, physically, mm-hmm. if I had kept down that path.
Yeah.
You know, okay, embarrassing fact, since you shared your eczema, mouth sores, if I'm
correct. Oh, geez.
And the tiniest little mouth sore hurts so bad. And like, you can't even smile. Like, I don't have one right now, thankfully. Yeah. I don't have makeup on, which you can tell, but you know, that's okay. Another story. But yeah, like, and then you're walking around and like, just in a lot of pain, and it's not like you're going to tell people about it. And so yeah. it's like, everyone has something going on with them. Everyone has those stressors in life. And it's just mm-hmm. important to empathize with everybody out there, because I'm sure they've got a lot going on that's above and beyond the crap that they might be giving you. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was really weird that just started a couple of years ago, and there's no reason or rhyme to it. There's no cure to it.
Yep.
I did hear there's like a new shot, I think, that helps with eczema. I don't know.
Well, like if I just lower my stress, it goes away.
Okay. So you're like, it's personally brought on by myself. Okay. Mm-hmm, yeah.
100%. And so, yeah, I'm like, oh, it's acting up. I'm like, all right, what's actually going on in life? I was like, what do I need to cut out or fix?
So it's kind of a blessing in disguise, because it helps you do that self-reflection.
Totally.
And like, okay, something's off here. I need to reassess.
Yeah. Oh, the body doesn't lie. And I think in general, Western culture, we're very disconnected from our bodies. And I think it would behoove us to do a better job at actually listening to our bodies when they're telling us something doesn't feel good, instead of just like, well, pick up your bootstraps, push through it. Like, that's what we're taught, is just like, we'll just push through it. Like, it won't kill you, but it's like, oh, actually stress will kill you.
So. Oh yeah. Yeah. I knew someone that had a stroke on 9/15. Direct correlation,
yes,
right?
I had a client whose former CPA had a heart attack and died on 9/15.
That's so sad.
Why? Like, it's accounting. Yeah. I always say, I'm like, it's not life or death. If it was, like, we would have become ER surgeons. We're not ER surgeons. We can always fix it. It can always be fixed.
Mm-hmm, for sure. Yeah. Okay. I meant to ask you, in regards to your forecasting and whatnot, are there particular apps that you like to use, or do you just kind of do your own thing with Excel, or?
Yes. Usually. So for the clients we work with, do you know Kathy Gregory? She was with LivePlan for years.
Sounds super familiar.
I'm sure if you saw her, you'd recognize her. So in that business, her and Peter are my partners in it, but we use exclusively LivePlan. Now I will say this about LivePlan, is it's a little more tailored, not to the accountant, but to a non-accountant. So you're not like, if you're trying to do these like insane forecasts, like inventory and all these really complicated balance sheet items, go with something like Fathom. Like, that's LivePlan won't do that. But if it's like, if you don't need that level of detail and you want something more interactive that you can work with the client, they can easily understand it. I think LivePlan's great for that. So it kind of keeps you, it's kind of good in a way, because it keeps you from overcomplicating things, where I would naturally want to overcomplicate it, where it's not necessarily helping the forecast, but it's just helping me because it's right. It's more right than it was before.
Okay, fair. All right. What is something that you do exceptionally well, and what can our listeners kind of learn from you about that? I mean, there's so many avenues we could go here. You've got the new media company. Obviously, you're doing something really awesome there.
Yes. So I would think, well, like, kind of in conjunction with why I'm doing the media company, I think I'm good at creating content that speaks to business owners. And what though that has taken is me to kind of step off my high horse, because it's like, we like to talk like in accountant terms and this and that and that, and, you know, clients or business owners just go blank. Like, those things don't make sense to them. So it might make us feel fancy saying those things, but if it's not translating to the client, it's useless. And so one of like the ways I was like humbled myself this summer was, I was like, okay, business owners love profit first. Mm-hmm. Accounts really don't. And I'm like, but if it's speaking to business owners, I need to read it and understand why it's speaking and what kind of language is being used. Yeah. And so I'm trying to constantly like step back from how I'm communicating things and being like, does this actually make sense to someone who's not an accountant? Yeah. And so it's that constant stepping back, asking myself, like, was this just like a, I don't know if I can say this, like a circle jerk, like, you know, just
you say, or whatever you want.
Yeah. Or is this actually useful to the client and useful information to them? And so it's constantly stepping back from there, realizing I'm kind of blinded by my own experience in the industry, and these terms I'm throwing around and using aren't as clear as I think they are. Like, this is actually a good thing or a good rule of thumb. So I was in LA this summer with Jason Statt. So it was him, Greg Kite, and Nio, and we were filming for like Practice Ignition's little PR thing, which was super fun. But me and Jason were riding in the Uber back to the airport, and I was telling him about, the community I was launching. And then he was saying, because I was talking about how, you know, as soon as you start talking about a subject, it's easy to just be like, oh, but then I could talk about this and this and this. And you just, it gets hard to launch things because you just start going so deep into it.
Yeah.
And he goes, you're probably going to level 20. He's like, stay at level one. Level one is where everyone else is at. He's like, so stop trying to go to level 20. And so that's kind of what I think about when I'm creating content. It's just like, stay at level one. Stop trying to go to level 20. Mm-hmm. Just stay at level one. Keep it on their level and communicate it in a way that they understand it. So usually that's short, concise clips.
Yeah, no, that totally makes sense. I'm working on a keynote about innovation for accountants, and I was reading this article about killing your darlings. So you want to like put all this extra crap in it. You want to put all these statistics, all these facts, you know. People don't need that or want that though. Mm-hmm. They just want like a simple overview of like, what are you talking about and why?
Yeah. Right? It's like, so they don't want to see that spreadsheet.
Like 5,000 things at me.
Yes. Yep. That's so true. Yes. And it's like, I get it too. Cause when I'm on the receiving end of it, I'm like, I don't want that information overload either.
Right. Right. And apparently PowerPoints are on the out because people are just sick of PowerPoints in general.
Oh, what do we use? Giant cards?
I don't know. I haven't quite figured that out. But like this one guy was just like so against PowerPoints and, you know, throwing like vomiting everything that you know on a PowerPoint. So maybe it's just about keeping it clean.
And,
you know,
and props. I think it'll look good. Oh, props.
Do you use props?
No, but now I kind of want to. I'm like, well, okay. This actually, That's could be innovative. Friend, like, okay, how do I give these presentations without any PowerPoint? How do I convey this instead?
Yeah. I think like a flip chart or something like that. I don't know. TBD. We'll have to work on that and mm-hmm. come back in a later episode.
Yes.
Okay. What is a cool, like, I'm a huge like productivity hack kind of person. Is there a particular thing that you do that you think is a really cool hack for life or work or whatever?
Yes. This would be the one I say. So a good exercise is to envision, what does my ideal work day look like? Like, what time are you getting up at? What activities are you doing? And what time during the day are you doing those activities? What other non-work activities you're doing? And lay out literally, if I had the perfect day of work, what exactly would I be doing? And then that's your blueprint. So if your perfect day of work, you're waking up at 5 a.m., 2 hours before the kids get up, then every day start waking up at 5 a.m. And you just use that as kind of your guide. I mean, obviously 95% of the days, you're not going to emulate that, but you're going to, if you just follow that path, you're going to be closer to your ideal work day than if not. And so that's what I always try and do. And sometimes I only do the first thing on the list, which is wake up at 5 a.m. Like, that's my ideal work day. I'm always waking up at 5 a.m. And sometimes it's the only thing that mirrors that ideal blueprint, but I'm like, you know what? That's still one thing closer than if I hadn't done that. So that's my tip.
Okay. I love that. Yeah. It definitely mirrors one of my top tips, which is time blocking or having like structured weeks and days. And I'm honestly, maybe this is the eight in me, but I kind of become so Nazi about my weekdays that I just cannot, I don't want to schedule anything on the weekends. And so my husband's scheduling soccer and baseball and all this stuff for the kids. And I'm like, I can't do it. I just want to like do nothing.
Yes. I want to veg.
Yeah, exactly. So it kind of backfires a little bit, but I think overall in the grand scheme of things, accounts in particular really need that kind of structuring for their day and week.
Yes.
And just kicking off the day the right way, like you said, is so key.
Yes. And I guess my other hack within that as I'm trying to figure out, okay, what am I doing today? How long is it going to take me? Whatever, however long I think it's going to take me, just times it by three.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Assume it'll take three times as long as you think. Yeah. And then I'll actually probably stay on track for the day.
I love that. Yeah. Because of course, you know, we don't overthink anything as accountants, right?
No, no.
It's not
no.
going to take us extra time. Okay, awesome. So how can listeners contact you after this? What are the best ways to get a hold of you?
Yes. So if you just want to connect on the community level, I am hanging out, being silly, a little silly goose on Twitter. that's at Laura Lynn Wilson. Like I said, silly. Like if you're looking for like high value stuff, it's not there. But if you're looking to laugh and, you know, or sometimes complain, that's a great place to go. Or if you want to kind of go down that content creation route and you're looking at getting started, because I feel like a lot of accountants know they should be, but having that creative capital to actually do it is a whole nother thing. And so it's like, and I can empathize with that a lot because I struggle with that daily. It's like, okay, I know I should create content. I don't really feel like it. What even should I create it about? And so, you know, having someone to help you along on that is incredibly beneficial. So for that, you just go to heatermedia.com.
Perfect. Okay. I can't wait to check that out and see what you've got going on there. So you'll be at QuickBooks Connect. Mm-hmm. What are your favorite conferences as we kind of wrap up here? I know you mentioned you're part of Accounting Salon. Tell us, mm-hmm. you know, give us an elevator pitch of what that is about.
Yes. Accounting Salon was started by Amanda Aguilar and David Leary as just like this idea that a lot of the value they got from conferences is in the networking. So they're like, well, let's just start our own kind of networking group. And so that's what they did. And there's only, I think total members is there's only 54 members worldwide. So it is the type of thing where there's an application process and the number of spots open up depending on if people leave or just aren't very active in Accounting Salon. And so basically what that looks like though on an ongoing basis is we're all in this Slack group together that's broken out to, we all have like these mini mastermind groups within it. And then we do a once a year on-site conference as well.
Very cool. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then is there any other conference that you're like, I have to make sure and go to this every year?
You know what? At this point now, only ones I can get speaking gigs at.
Yeah, that's what the deal I told myself too. I was like, I'm right? not going unless I get a speaking gig.
Or you know what? Or there's going to be a huge asterisk there. If it's in Vegas, I'm going. Like
I know. Love... You said you've got that gambling thing going on.
Oh, I love Vegas. And it's like, I just love the heat. I love the pools. I love walking around. I love... Yeah. Eating yummy food. I love when I feel like it playing poker and Vegas. Like I'm going to retire to Vegas. So if a conference is in Vegas, I'll probably go.
Okay. That is good to know. So if you want to track down Laura Lynn, go to Vegas. She's probably there. I really look forward to meeting you in person and hanging out at some point at some conference in the future. So definitely keep me in the loop and thank you so much for your time today. It was so much fun.
Thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you for listening to the Concierge CPA, hosted by Tax Plan IQ. We believe that every person has a unique message that can positively impact the world. If you are a successful accounting firm owner or influencer who would like to be on this program, please visit JackieMeyerCPA.com, JackieMeyerCPA.com to apply. Please share this on social media and rate us so we can continue our good work. Join our Facebook group called Accounting Firm Influencers or connect with me on most platforms under Jackie Meyer CPA. Thanks for being accountable to transforming our industry today.